Hear the promises of our God. God hears the silent grief of our hearts, yet God takes joy, as do we, in the gifts that were and the gifts that are life. God is faithful and will abide as light and love for us all, even as our hearts are silent. We have come together within the strengthening fellowship of family and friends to thank God for the life of George Doc Phillips, to share our grief with God and with one another, to reaffirm our trust in the everlasting love of God, to hear again God's promise of resurrection, and to commend Doc to God's everlasting care. Will you please join me in prayer? God, our strength and our Redeemer, giver of life and conqueror of death, we open our hearts to you just as we are. We come today to celebrate your gift of life freely given, but we are grieved by a sense of loss in the face of death. The love which binds us to one another leaves us aching as it seems those ties are broken. And so we ask that you would accept our tears as signs of devotion and transform them into waters of life to nourish us in the days ahead. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first scripture reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, which was read at Doc and Edie's wedding. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace.
To ever.
George Robert Doc Phillips Jr. passed away January 2, 2020 at Central Wyoming Hospice and Transitions after a hard-fought battle with pancreatic cancer. Doc was born September 8, 1946 to George Robert Phillips and Helen Bradshaw Phillips in Peoria, Illinois. He grew up in, pardon me, I'm not going to say it correctly, Crevecoeur, Illinois, and graduated from East Peoria High School in 1964. He attended Iowa Wesleyan College in Mount Pleasant, Iowa, majoring in biology and physical education, and graduated in 1968. While at Iowa Wesleyan, he was a member of the football team and the Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity. After his fifth concussion in football his senior year, an appointment with a chiropractor would change the course of his life forever. He attended Palmer College of Chiropractic in Davenport, Iowa, graduating in 1972. Chiropractic would bring Doc to Casper, Wyoming, where he would help many people throughout his 47 and a half year career. Doc would say that he never worked a day in his life, because when you love what you do, it's never work. Helping countless people throughout his career was one thing, but he was also proud of how he helped the chiropractic profession grow in Wyoming and nationally. He was the president of the Wyoming Chiropractic Association, president and vice president of the Wyoming Board of Chiropractic Board of Examiners, and represented Wyoming on the National Board of Chiropractic Examiners. One of his proudest moments was being elected to the executive board of the Federation of Chiropractic Licensing Boards, where he helped create policy for the chiropractic profession as a whole. The only thing that Doc loved more than being a chiropractor was his family. Doc married Edith Corbett on June 30, 1978 in Casper, Wyoming, and they had two children, Amy and Robbie. The love and support that Doc had for his family was unmatched. An avid fan of all things sports, he made lifelong friends golfing, bowling, and playing fast pitch softball in Wyoming. He was lucky that his family loved sports too. Both Doc and Edie traveled all over Wyoming and the country supporting their kids at every event. If he wasn't cheering for his children or his grandchildren, he was cheering for the Wyoming Cowboys. Go Pokes. Casper College T-Birds, Chicago Bears, the Bears, and the Chicago Cubs. Doc is survived by his loving wife, Edie, his two children, Amy O'Reilly, TJ, Robbie Phillips, and Megan, and the loves of his life, his five grandchildren, Cassidy, Frankie, Finley, Harper, and Scotland. He was preceded in death by his parents.
You stay a little while, keep me safe, 'cause there's monsters right outside. Daddy, please don't go, I don't wanna be alone, 'cause the second that you're gone, they're gonna know. Before he went to bed, he grabbed my hand and said, just 'cause I'm leaving, it don't mean it. I won't be right by your side when you need me. You can't see me in the middle of the night. Just close your eyes and say a prayer. It's okay, I know you're scared when I'm not here, but I'll always be right there. Even though I'm leaving, I ain't Sam don't like to wait. He's got a big old plane that's gonna take me far away. I know I act tough, but there's a churning in my gut, 'cause I just can't call you up when things get rough. Before I left, he hugged my neck and said, just 'cause you're leaving, it don't mean it. Won't be right by your side when you need me. You can't see me in the middle of the night. Just close your eyes and say a prayer. It's okay, I know you're scared. I might be here, but I'll always be right there. Even though you're leaving, I ain't going nowhere. Won't you stay a little while? I never thought I'd see the day I had to say goodbye. Daddy, please don't go. I can't do this on my own. There's no way that I can walk this road alone. Daddy grabbed my hand and said, just 'cause I'm leaving, it don't mean it. I won't be right by your side when you need me, and you can't see me in the middle of the night. Just close your eyes and say a prayer. It's okay, boy, I ain't scared. I won't be here, but I'll always be right there. Even though I'm leaving, I ain't going.
George, Butch, Buddy, Staff Sergeant, Doc, Husband, Dad, and in his eyes, the most important one, Grandpa. These names represent the timeline of my dad's life, and for a man who didn't like change much, he sure had a lot of names. George, a name he wasn't fond of, Robert Phillips Jr., was born to George Robert Phillips and Helen Bradshaw Phillips, September 8, 1946, in Peoria, Illinois. After many months of bed rest for my grandma in the hot and humid Illinois summer, he would become the joy of her life until I was born. Being the only child, the two of them shared a very special bond. She was very proud of him and cheered him along at all of his accomplishments. Butch and Buddy. Those two names could be used interchangeably throughout his childhood, depending on the relationship of the person saying it. Butch was a name that family members called him, and Buddy played Pony League baseball and football at East Peoria High School. George would appear again as he graduated from high school to attend Iowa Wesleyan and play football. Playing football and the shenanigans of the Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity took up a lot of study time, but it was after his fifth concussion in one season that he had an appointment with a chiropractor to help the pain in his neck that would change the course of his life forever. George reemerged. Again, he wasn't fond of it. When he entered Palmer Chiropractic College in Davenport, Iowa. There he would learn the techniques that would help him help so many people throughout his 47-year career. Here is where he would meet Barry Smith, and a friendship of opposites would emerge for many years. With the Phillipses heading to Pennsylvania to watch Penn State and to watch the Cubs beat the Phillies, and the Smiths would adventure to Wyoming to check out all Wyoming has to offer. While at Chiropractic College, Private Phillips would enlist in the Army National Guard, where he would rise to the rank of Staff Sergeant by his discharge. The war, as he called it, took him on many weekend adventures for 7 years. During the war in Wyoming, he would meet his friend Woody, and an added bonus would be Woody's sister Patty. Gambling, golfing, but mostly just laughing, would describe their 40-year friendship. This would also be where the name Doc began. Doc came to Casper, Wyoming in 1972 after purchasing a business and never left. He loved Wyoming, and most importantly, he loved the people of Casper. Doc would marry Edith Corbett. Every time. Would marry Edith Corbett, June 30th, 1978, right here at First Christian Church. They enjoyed 41 years of marriage together. Theirs was a relationship built on trust, love, and most importantly, hard work. You couldn't find two more hardworking people than them. They combined forces to create a one for life together. As my dad would say, not too bad for a couple of poor kids, and I couldn't agree more. Doc would help countless number of patients throughout his career and would only have three receptionists, which is either a testament to him being a great boss or them being saints. Kay was with him the last 25 years, and we are grateful that she was. Besides being a chiropractor, Doc was a fixture in fast pitch softball leagues for many years. Many of Robbie and I's earliest memories were traveling to softball tournaments and swimming in hotel pools or at Thermopolis before hitting the softball fields and the concession stands. Numerous friendships were formed during this time as well. One significant one was Dave Schooley, and again, an added bonus, Karen and the rest of the Schooley family. The Phillipses and the Schooleys would have many fun nights together. They also traveled together. Their adventures would take them to Australia, New Zealand, and cruises to Alaska and the Caribbean. Best part is they remained great friends afterwards. Myself and my brother would enter his life in 1979 and 1982 to make him a dad. He always stressed that without family, you have nothing. It was his motto. You always knew he'd have your back, even when you screwed up royally. You might not always want to tell him you messed up, but eventually he'd find out. He always found out. There were very few times he wasn't able to attend our sporting events, plays, band concerts, and ballet performances. You always knew that at least one of my parents were going to be there, and it's something he prided himself on. Even if they had traveled 7 hours to watch you play 37 seconds in a college basketball game, they were there. Grandpa would be the name he loved the most. The first grandchild, Cassidy, came in 2009, followed by Frankie in 2011, Finley and Harper in 2013, and Scotland in 2019. As many of you know, his office was covered with pictures of them because he was so proud to be a grandpa. He always figured he wouldn't be around long enough to see one grandchild, let alone five. A funny story about the name Grandpa. When I was pregnant with Cass, he was adamant about being called Grandpa. Nothing else, didn't want it, that was it, Grandpa. She gets to the age where she's starting to talk, and we've been practicing Grandpa because we knew that's what he wanted. And she goes to say his name for the first time, and it comes out Peepaw. He was known as Peepaw for a long time, but eventually that faded away and Grandpa fit perfectly. When he found out he was sick in August, his goal was to make it to Christmas to read "Twas the Night Before Christmas" to the grandkids, as he had done every Christmas Eve for as long as my brother and I could remember, and he did. This exemplifies how he lived his life. He would set a goal for himself and accomplish it. It was pretty amazing. My family would like to thank everyone for coming today to celebrate the life of Doc, Dad, and Grandpa. We appreciate it.
We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we've seen and heard, that you may also have fellowship with us. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. 1 John 1:1-4. Doc was a man whose life was heard and seen and touched by so many in this community. His was a life that brought love and joy and shenanigans to many. In this moment, as we celebrate his life, if you have a memory, a story, or words of gratitude for him, if you would like to share one of those stories, you are invited now to come up to the lectern where Amy was, or to the microphone right beside. We invite you to do so now, remembering that tears should not stop you, as they didn't stop Amy, because they are signs of love and joy. So, come on.
My name is TJ. I'm married to Amy. And I'm going to start at the beginning, and I'm going to share more than one memory. I like to break the rules. So when I first started dating Amy, she brought me home to meet Doc and Edie. And the first day, we did our normal pleasantries, and everybody ate and went through the motions. And the next morning, I got up early, and Doc and I were having coffee. And we're sitting there, and he looks me in my eyes, and he said, "You know, I always thought that anybody that Amy brought home I could intimidate. And I don't think that's going to work with you." And I looked back at him and was like, "Yep, no." And I said to him, "You know, I just hope that we can be friends." And so, you know, our friendship started. And fast forward a few years, and there was the day that I went to his office and asked to marry Amy. And Kay was there, and I was there, and he called me into his sitting area, and we're sitting there, and he said, "Young man, what's on your mind?" And I said, "You know, I want your permission to marry Amy." And he looked at me and he's like, "Well, it's about time you, or get off the pot." And so, you know, we got married and kept moving forward. And, you know, the thing about Doc and my relationship that I'd like to let everybody know and make sure that my kids know is I'm not perfect. And there were a lot of times that things happened along the way that he could have been frustrated by and could have really let me know that, and he didn't. like the time I borrowed his truck. Robbie was driving his truck at the time, but that was Doc's truck. And it happened to be snowing. And so I was rushing along and moving, and I didn't put it in four-wheel drive and accelerated onto the highway, lost control, slammed it into the Meridian, airbags implode, poof! I'm like, whoa. And I get off, and I'm in the snow, and I walk off the interstate, and I call Robbie, and I said, hey, I just totaled your truck. And Robbie says to me, have you called my dad yet? And I took a deep breath and thought to myself, that's not a call I really want to have, because I knew whose truck that was, and it wasn't Robbie's. And so I called him, and I said, Doc, you know, I just lost control of your truck, and I totaled it. And he's like, totaled? I was like, oh, it's totaled. And so there was a pause, and I was kind of waiting for it, because when I first was dating Amy, she said that I reminded her of her dad. And I thought in that moment, like, I would be frustrated that someone just totaled my truck. And, you know, Doc took a moment, and he said, are you all right? And I said, yeah. And then he asked, is anybody else hurt? And I said, no. He said, okay. And that was it. And over the last couple weeks, you think about the 16, almost 17 years that I was able to be part of Doc's life and be part of their family. And in those 17 years, he and I never had a cross word, ever. We never raised our voices at each other. He was always supportive and never intrusive. And that's not an easy thing to do when someone's married to your daughter. So I'm just thankful for the time that I always had with him, and I'm thankful for the family that he embraced me into. And, you know, I made him a promise that we would keep pushing forward the way that we have and the way that he taught us to. So, in closing, there was a way that Doc liked to close the day. And I'll share that with you now. Turn out the lights, the party's over. They say that all good things must end. Turn out the lights, the party's over. And tomorrow we'll do it all again. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Pastor Riley, and I am Doc's oldest grandchild, and I would like to share a speech that I prepared for my grandpa. Doc Phillips was my grandpa. He was a great grandpa. I loved him so much. He was great to so many people. I love you, Grandpa.
Hello, my name is Frankie. I'm Doc's only grandson. My grandpa was a good friend to people, a good boss, and most importantly, a good grandpa. We will miss you, and we love you.
I'm the Karen. I think my best memory of Doc and Edie is they're not friends, they're family. But the one thing everybody knows is how competitive Doc and Dave were when they played softball. You just didn't mess with them. And the one story I remember the most, we were playing in a tournament, I believe it was in Thermopyr, somewhere up there, and the kids wanted to go swimming so bad. And Doc and Dave would keep saying, yep, as soon as we lose and we're out, we're gonna go swimming. Well, they got in the loser's black bracket and they played, they won, the kids cried. They played, they won, the kids cried. They won so many games. out of the loser brackets, the pools were closed, and the kids cried.
I wasn't thinking as much coming up here, but I'm up here for all Doc's friends and colleagues. It's hard to come after the family. I'm the X-Man, so hi, guys. I'm just going to tell you a few things, a story about Doc, of course. I'll save that. But Doc and Edie, to Rose and I, my wife, are role models in a lot of ways. The hard work that Amy talked about, commitment to each other, being there for your family, and I've known them for 25 years, and they were always role models to us as parents and as friends and as husband and wife. The bonus is I got to meet Robbie because I knew Doc first. And I've had some really good talks with Robbie lately. And Megan, his wife, was our host daughter when she attended Casper College. So then the spinoff of that is now I get some time with Harper in Scotland. And when TJ and Amy were here, we got to spend time with their kids. I told Robbie the other night when everybody, they were at our house, and I think Harper and Scotland and Megan and Rose and Cassie and Allie all wanted to go to bed, and Rob and I were talking till 1 or 2 in the morning, that the true measure of a man is his impact on other people's lives. And I look out here, and gosh, Jim, Dallas, I mean, you've known this guy forever. When Robbie and I finished talking the other night, I told him that I'm a better person for having been a friend to Doc Phillips. And that's also a measure of somebody's life. And my story, and I don't know if I'll tell it well, was when he was playing football, he was an offensive lineman. And at some point during the course of a game that was already out of hand, out of control, the score didn't matter. I think it was either the quarterback or the running back came back in the huddle and was bitching about the blocking and did it again in the next huddle. And so the next time they lined up and they blew the whistle and Doc got down in his stance, it was going to be, I think, a quarterback keeper or something like that. And they hiked the ball and Doc kind of did one of these and let the guy go in and nail the guy that was complaining all the time about the offensive lineman. And I don't know if it's exactly right, Edie. You know, we've talked about that lots. But the thing was, is, you know, Doc's point was he didn't complain about the lineman at all anymore. I love your whole family. And I'm also thankful for one more thing. That he got to see the Cubs win the World Series.
Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you for the life of Doc and for the joy of loving and being loved and cared for by him. We know that you are tender and caring, ready to shower us with your mercies that are new every day. Teach us the song of hope that comes with your presence. Give us courage to walk through each day as we carry the light and love of Doc with us now. Surround us by your great cloud of witnesses as we live, we laugh, we cry, we love, and we wait for the promised resurrection. Walking with you beside us, trusting in your love, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh,
beloved of God, go now into the world remembering that you are all God's beloved children. Go into the world certain that faith, hope, and love are the greatest gifts of life to be received and then shared with the world. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.